As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. And it's time now to be joined by a special guest. We're talking Cowboys here with Joseph Hoyt of the Dallas Morning News. And a good afternoon, Joseph. How the heck are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well, fellas. I got the Rio booking done, got the Oxnard booking done. It's, you know, we're still a little far away, but at least we have some inkling of when football season's coming.
How much? You know, like recreating or vacationing, do you ride into this Brazil trip? Like, you got to take advantage of this a little bit, don't you?
A little bit for sure. But, you know, it's funny, like, Rio has actually never been on my list of places I wanted to go. It's definitely going to be a lot of work. You know, that overnight flight there and back is going to be a lot. But I definitely, you know, I got to see the Christ of the Redeemer statue and got to see some other things. I might actually go to a Brazilian steakhouse. You know, I love me some of the Brazilian steakhouses out here, so we might have to try some real Brazilian steakhouse.
What about a Brazilian wax, Joe?
You know, I haven't dabbled there yet, but yet. Yeah, you know, when in Rome, right?
Yeah, Rio, you know? I love it.
Man, Joe, you're doing a great job. Thanks for the off-season content. I see you pointing out they have three open roster spots right now, and you're talking about players the Cowboys could add. You got a top five here on the Morning News website. Do you believe that the Cowboys are interested in improving this roster before we get to Oxnard?
I think they are, but I do. I think it's kind of what they've been, you know, echoing a little bit in terms of there's a comfort level, right? And I think, you know, Brian Schottenheimer, when asked specifically about their linebacker room, you know, then right now it's kind of a D. Winters, DeMarvion Overshown, potentially a J. Sean Barham situation. Like, there's obviously a little bit of room for improvement if the situation was right, but I think that's where they're at with a lot of elements of their roster. They like where they're at, but if there's a situation that arises, they could be open to doing things. I think running back's another great example. I think they really like Phil Maffa. I think they were excited about what Jaden Blue showed at the end in terms of not only what he did on the field in week 18, but in terms of him kind of accepting that he needs to be more of a professional and starting to kind of get on that track. And then obviously Malik Davis, what he did was very impressive last year. But, you know, if a running back were to become available, you know, is that something they do to try and increase their room? I don't think that's out of the question at all. So I think that's where you're at. And then I think the big question in terms of potentially improving the roster, and I don't think this is something that happens, you know, June 2nd, but you look at offensive tackle, you know, and I we talked about it a lot. I know Brian and I have talked about it. The idea of potentially moving to Tyler Smith and having that kind of card in your backhand to move him to left tackle, that's something that, you know, you can fall back on. But ideally, is that what you want to do? Probably not. Is there a tackle out there that makes some sense that could potentially add some competition with Tyler Guyton, Nate Thomas, Drew Shelton, and more? I think those are things to keep an eye on.
So like three different positions, running back, linebacker, tackle?
That's kind of where I was kind of, you know, mostly focusing on. I think if we're looking at what areas where there's comfort but slight uncertainty that could be improved with someone else, I think that's kind of where my mind went.
So when it comes to edge, we've chatted about Josh Sweat, and that was a name that I had heard a couple months ago that could be on the trade block. And I don't know if the Cowboys had interest or maybe they had just kind of kicked that around. Do you think that there could be any interest in a Josh Sweat?
Yeah, and I think that's a great example of kind of a little bit of what I was talking about in terms of, hey, man, if that situation becomes a place where they feel comfortable, yeah, like, why not, right? Like, I think Josh Sweat's extremely talented. Obviously, that there's some familiarity there, not only with Clayton Adams, you know, being on the other side of the ball there at Arizona, but obviously Ryan Smith in the secondary. And it doesn't take much to realize that Josh Sweat is a very talented guy. But I do think if you look at the contract, you look at the situation in Arizona, things would have to fall into place in order for that to happen. Right now, I kind of don't see that happening. Especially, like, I do think that there's comfort at the edge position with the Cowboys, too. Like, I think they really like Rashawn Gary. I think that they're optimistic about what Donovan Ezeraku can do in year two. I think, you know, when you look at Ezeraku, just as an aside, I think it's just so funny that the thing that we kind of hailed with him coming out of Boston College was, this is a guy that has every pass rush tool skill set there is, and he should be able to apply that.
Yeah.
Last year, it didn't really come out, but he played well in the run game. So I think that there's optimism about what if he could turn that corner and do that. And obviously, I think Malachi Lawrence, if you can harness that 10-second split, get rid of those false steps, I think that there's a lot of optimism about the juice he brings off the edge as well.
Do you think we're, and maybe you're not, but I think that in terms of how our station's probably covered Rashawn Gary, are we kind of underrating him?
I don't want to speak for you guys because I haven't heard all the coverage, but, I think with Rashawn Gary, there is a little bit of an underrated factor. I think the familiarity with Derek Ansley is going to help. I think that they're going to have a good plan for him and how they utilize him. Obviously, they want to be really multiple, and I think that he's someone that gives you the capabilities to do multiple different things. Is he going to be the juice off the edge that I was just kind of talking about in terms of being optimistic about Malachi Lawrence? No, there's no way. But I do think if you kind of look at what he did when he had someone next to him with some juice or, opposite of him, I think this is someone that can understand pass rush lanes and get after there if he has a little bit of help from someone like a Micah Parsons. Obviously, the Cowboys don't have that. But I do think that he's a solid player that I in terms of where they turned after the Max Crosby deal, I didn't think that was a bad move at all.
Joe Hoyt, Morning News with us here in the G-Bag Nation. How interested do you think they're going to be in terms of the Brendan Sorsby stuff if he goes supplemental in the draft there? Do you think that would be something that they would be interested in? How far would they go in terms of draft capital?
It's a good question. I haven't really dove into that, to be honest with you, too much with people I've talked to around the organization. I probably should. But I think my initial kind of thought on that was, I think that the Cowboys do the ability to kind of try and set themselves up in the future with players that might not cost a lot. If you look at their last two starting quarterbacks, he went from Tony Romo, undrafted, to Dak Prescott, fourth round pick. Things worked out well there. And I think it's also kind of my philosophy on quarterbacks is it's almost like a dartboard, and I'd rather take as many darts thrown as possible, regardless of round. I was thinking about this. If you got all your answers from Joe Milton a year ago in terms of what you think about him, why not try to flip Joe Milton for a day three pick and then use a day three pick in the supplemental draft on a guy like Brendan Sorsby, to come in and learn from Sam Howell and Dak Prescott? That was one thought I had that purely just in my own brain. But that obviously means that they would be giving up on someone they had a lot of talent or thought had a lot of talent going into last year and tried to develop. So, I think it'd be intriguing. I think Sorsby's really talented. It'll be fascinating to see what happens with the supplemental draft and what he does.
Hey, Joe, we're all this whole really off season ever since Christian Parker was, signed on. We just kind of, it's like, oh, we don't know what he's going to do here or do there, that kind of thing. We've got a little bit of some of the, the OTA stuff or the stuff that they've been working on. What are you looking for the most at training camp from him? Is there anything you're like, I'm interested to see this guy do this? Is there something you've kind of got a focus on?
Yeah, I think, to be honest with you, Brian, it's more just the kind of cohesion of everything he's putting together. And I know that's probably a pretty general statement for a guy being a first-time DC. But I do think that there's going to be elements, obviously, of what Vic Fangio did. And I'm curious to see, though, how he kind of creates his own version of things. There's one comment I just kind of can't get out of my head, and it's the way that Zach Bond talked about him and how instrumental he was with not only what the secondary was doing coverages in Philadelphia, but how the front seven kind of adapted to what the back, secondary was doing as well. And I'm just curious to see him work with linebackers. I'm curious to see him work about, how they're going to be multiple and what that looks like in terms of different guys doing different things. I know that he's going to be able to develop corners. And, I'm so curious to see, what kind of jump maybe a guy like Savone Rebel can take. Mm. If Deron Bland, if healthy, can kind of come back. Devin Moore, we talked about other guys with some, height, weight, and speed, kind of length abilities, what he can do from a developmental standpoint with them. But I think just the cohesion between the front and the secondary and how those two kind of play off each other. And obviously you throw in the idea of BT Jordan there too and what they did in Denver from just a pass rush standpoint. It's not like it was one Micah Parsons type guy making plays. There was good rush lanes. There was good cohesion between what the secondary was doing and the pass rush. And I think that that's a huge area in terms of where the Cowboys can improve in 2026.
Hoping for it. I mean, they've invested in coaching, haven't they? Between Dixon, Uzu Deribe from Georgia. Is that how I say mm-hmm. that? And then BT Jordan, the three guys coaching it up. Hopefully that can get right. It's Joseph Hoyt, Morning News here with you on The Fan. We opened up talking Bobby Wagner and kind of going off the article. There's a number of people who want to sign the Bobby Wagner petition. and my signature has been on there, Joe. But I'm wondering if I should leave it on there because I'm just thinking, do we know what kind of linebackers Christian Parker, you know, really wants or what they need right now? And a guy that's going to play the run and, I guess, pass rush pretty good in Bobby Wagner, but might not have the speed to go sideline to sideline or coverage anymore. Like, am I comfortable? Do you think I'm safe believing that Christian Parker wants Bobby Wagner?
I think it's been fascinating because, you know, when I talk to people about Bobby Wagner specifically, like, there's not been like a no, you know, there's not been like, oh, no, he's too slow or no, he's not there. But it's also been almost more like a, you know, almost sometimes about reading people. And I'm not necessarily sure there's like excitement there either, but I haven't been ruled out on it. And so a part of me thinks that, you know, when it comes to a guy like Bobby Wagner, look at his strengths right now, right? To your point. He's not a sideline-to-sideline guy. Right now, they have two very fast inside linebackers in D. Winters and DeMar Van Overshown, right? That's not Bobby Wagner. But I do think if we're talking about their linebacker room and what it looks like, not now, but maybe August 15th, right, or closer to training camp, you know, is there a need for someone that can just be a green dot? And obviously, that'd be a little late for a guy like Bobby Wagner to come in. But is there someone just that can settle things in a linebacker room that hasn't been settled? And I think that that's almost where my mind goes in terms of potential Bobby Wagner thing. It's more of a read and react and see what a veteran can do, you know, late in the process. That's where my mind goes there. But I do think that they like the speed of D. Winters and DeMar Van Overshown, and they're hopeful that maybe a D. Winters or even someone like Curtis Robinson can, you know, be help them with the green dot and kind of get them going in that direction without a guy like Bobby Wagner.
So would you rather have a Bobby Wagner and trade for a Josh Sweat or trade for a Jordan Brooks and sign, say, a Von Miller?
Ooh. Well, me personally, the Jordan Brooks half sounds better to me. You know, I also, but, you know, Von, I don't know how much juice Von has left, if we're being honest.
Sure.
I think I would still go with the Jordan Brooks thing. I think that that's still a guy who was an all-pro linebacker a year ago, you know, top 10 in PFF. Someone that can still move around and be, you know, a pretty standout linebacker for you. And if we're talking about this defense right now, you know, I think that is still the biggest question defensively is what they're going to do at linebacker and how well a guy like D. Winters can adjust to being a true, you know, potential Mike Witt next to a DeMar Van Overshown. There's a lot of questions in that linebacker room. And so I think a guy like Jordan Brooks would answer a lot of them. I just don't know if they're going to be willing to give up the price for that. You know, we checked in and at the you know, earlier this offseason, and it seemed like those talks had definitely cooled off with Miami about Jordan Brooks. So I don't know what it would take to revisit them.
Joseph Hoyt, Dallas Morning News with us here talking Cowboys and the G-Bag Nation. How healthy, have you heard any updates for Revel, for Bland? Like, what do you think of the cornerback room right now?
I mean, that's another question, to be honest. You know, I mean, I'll give credit to Clarence Hill, who talked with Savon Revel's dad, I believe, and said that he's out of the brace. We'll see exactly how healthy Savon is, you know, and going into your the Ron Bland foot thing really concerns me, if we're being honest. You know, I even asked kind of point blank to Jerry at the first end of the season press conference, like, how much does that concern you? And he said it was very concerning to have 2 foot surgeries back to back. You know, I think when you talk about feet with corners, it's such a huge thing because there's so much planting, so much anticipation. And if you even have a second of hesitation, that affects that anticipation. You know, I think that they've done a good job adding a lot of depth to kind of have some security there and some insurance policies. We'll see if those insurance policies have to cash in. You know, I think if Rebel's healthy, that's someone that it would really do a lot for this defense, not only now, but over the next handful of years, if you can get a lot of optimism in that corner spot from Savon Revel.
Wanted to circle back to the Sorsby idea that you had there. When do you think the quarterback thing would progress as far as trying to find the next guy? Would they want to bring in somebody to sit behind Dak, like Love behind Aaron Rodgers, for a year or two? Do you think it would progress next spring where we're looking at using higher assets or more expensive resources to try to find the heir apparent, if you will?
Yeah, I think that's a good question because I think they kind of have been doing it subtly, you know, for a while, right? Like, I think that they've tried some things. I mean, you don't trade for Trey Lance if you totally think that he's just a true backup that won't do anything, right? You want to see if he can develop. You trade for Joe Milton because you want to see if he can develop because the risk versus the cost, it's in good direction for you, right? And, you know, I think even signing a guy like Sam Howell, though, I think was kind of further evidence that they want to solidify more than just develop. the backup quarterback position this year. So I think they've been attempting to do it. The question kind of becomes, as the years go on and Dak gets older and maybe the money just kind of gets more and more expensive, and I think you pointed it out, like, when do you start amplifying the resources used, right? When do you turn a fifth-round pick that you trade, you know, for a, you know, developmental guy to a day two pick, you know, for someone that has intriguing stuff but also could step in? Or when do you say, you know what, we need to just trade up and go get a first-round quarterback, right? When do they say, like, let's target a Paxton Lynch and Johnny Manziel, which obviously has some concerns in targeting things like that, you know, in the first round. So I think as years goes on, you could see those resources amplify. Right now, I just don't see them wanting to invest so much because they have so much confidence in what Dak Prescott can be. And honestly, if Dak Prescott isn't what they hope he can be, then this thing's a wash anyways.
You're the man, Joe. Keep it up. We'll keep reading it and talking about it on the show, and we'll look forward to catching up with you as soon as we can.
Yeah, fellas, always a pleasure. Talk
Salute.
To you later.
Joseph Hoyt, Morning News here with you on 105.3 The Fan. We'll come back, hit the C-note. Cowboys news of the evening. Speaking of Joseph Hoyt, I think he's got some more content for us to talk about. And four other names that he floated as possible players of interest for the Cowboys this summer. That's coming up next.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
G-Bag Nation. All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Time for the C-Note, Cowboys News of the Evening. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. You've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Top story this afternoon in Dallas is 409 East 9th Street, Bishop Arts District in Oak Cliff. Apartment building explosion. Some tragic reactions happening on social media. I guess four injured, one on their way to the hospital. But the officials are saying that number could rise quickly because there's people that are unaccounted for. There's an eyewitness account from a family member saying her family member was on the couch and then the big boom happened, an explosion. And maybe it was a gas line or something like that. But she went out to the couch and the family member was gone. Can't find her. So you look at the pictures on social, it's rubble. It looks like a bomb went off there.
Yeah, it's awful.
A four-alarm fire as they continue to try to get it under control. And we'll just hope for the best possible resolution from this point forward. Things about as much as we can say there. All righty. Joseph Hoyt did five players the Cowboys could add this summer. We just had Joseph on. If you want to go back, if the Odyssey app, you can, you know, instantly rewind and check out Joseph and then listen to this. We did talk with him about Bobby Wagner. He is one of the guys on the list, but I want to talk about the other four with you guys. James Conner, the Clayton Adams connection, possibly a factor. How much juice does James Conner have at 31? Reworked his deal to stay in Arizona so he didn't get cut. Then they drafted his replacement in Jeremiah Love and signed Tyler Allgeier. Is he content to be running back three? If he is, maybe he just wants to stay in Arizona. Maybe, you know, he's got roots there and he doesn't want to move. But I would be real interested to see if scouts could look at him and determine how much gas he has left in the tank. And if it's a good fit, maybe it's no longer a good fit because that was a very specific role Clayton Adams had for him, design the offense around James Conner's strength, just as he did, you know, with the Colts and now with the Cowboys around Javonte Williams' strength. But that's one name. Taylor Decker is a good veteran. He wants a lot of money. I think his market value, according to SpoTrack, is 20 mil. PFF grade approaching 70 last year, which is significantly above average. Left tackle, but I think if they hadn't gone after a guy like Taylor Decker right now, it'd be a surprise if they did. When the offseason started, that would have been one of my top priorities. Can we improve our floor at tackle? Maybe it's on the cards. If you have a training camp injury or some guy just massively underperforms, maybe Tyler Guyton disappoints the coaches again with how he shows up and goes about his business. I guess it's comforting to know a player of that quality is still out there and available if they need him.
Yeah, I think that would be, you know, injury related. I think they're going to give Guyton every chance to earn this job. And, you know, hopefully he does. I mean, I think that he needs, if he can stay on the field and he shows the strides that he took last year before the injury in camp, they'll be in a good spot. But, Decker's definitely a name that I would kick around 100%. And Connor's coming off that foot injury. He only played 3 games last year. So you'd have to check out the health.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. He was dinged. 817, I can see that fire from Venus, Texas, west of Midlothian. Mm. Yeah, it's quite a plume. Jordan Brooks, we talked a lot about this guy. You know, it would be great to have Jordan Brooks. You know, that's maybe the most competent player on this list. We did some Bobby Wagner. Jonah Williams, unfortunately, when it comes to the Cowboys and how they do business, maybe Jonah Williams is the most likely out of this list.
Former first-round pick. They look to resurrect their career. Yeah, I could see that, and probably wouldn't be overly expensive. That guy was such a disappointment in Cincinnati.
Yeah, but he signed with Arizona with Clayton Adams in 2024.
Maybe he can get something from him.
And then he went out and missed, 19 of the 34 games? He's only played in 15 games.
Yeah, he's been a hurt guy.
He's a banged-up bust. So, I mean, I don't feel like right now they need to add players to compete who are a long shot. I think you have enough young guys to compete. But, hell, why not throw another one in there if the price is right on Jonah Williams? All right, that's the first article here in our Cowboys news of the evening. Let's move on to the next one. We stay in the morning news. And I'm going to take you over here to Calvin Watkins, friend of the show. Probably should have him on here before too long. The headline, 10 Cowboys players who need to have a good offseason. And number one's George Pickens. And, you know, when I first saw that, I was like, man, he's kind of hit his peak. I don't know what you're hoping to get out of him. But then I read on and I'm like, okay, I get it.
Off the field?
Yeah. Can George Pickens be the everything?
Yeah.
You know? Because I feel like, especially with Shoddy, they're thinking, we only are going to pay a certain amount of guys on every football team. It's somewhere between 6 and 14, depending on how many awesome players you have and how aggressive your ownership is with writing checks. And if we're going to say, we want you to be a culture guy, it's not good enough to just be amazing on Sunday, is it? You know? And then on top of that, can you be maybe more of an unselfish football player? Can you block better? George Pickens should be a hell of a blocker.
Yeah, yeah, at that size, for sure.
Yeah. And he loves to kick DB's butts.
He does.
He likes to get in fights.
You can legally kick this guy's ass.
Yeah.
You know, and now maybe it's a conditioning thing. You know, maybe it's hard. It is hard to play defense and score 30 in basketball. Mm-hmm. It is hard to run great routes and yak everybody and jump over dudes and be the hardest dude to tackle in the league. And also block your ass off. You know, maybe that's why you have blocking specialists as your fourth wide receiver or something like that. But I think the point plays. And for it to be number one on the list, you know, from Calvin Watkins, he's dialed in. He knows what the team's looking for.
For sure. I mean, and you do have teams like some of the best Shanahan offenses, the McVay offenses. They got wide receivers that are willing to block. I mean, that's just the nature of the beast. Look at Puka Nacua. I mean, Puka is a monster when it comes to blocking, and he's also a dog getting targeted almost more than anyone in the league, making big plays. Like, I'd be showing all my wide receivers, look what Puka's doing.
Oh, Amon Ross St. Brown in Detroit.
Yeah, St. Brown's another great example. Like, these guys are prolific, they're productive, they're some of the best in the sport, and they're also willing to do the dirty work.
Game changer.
And that's not just you, George. That's right. Every one of you in this wide receiver.
Well, and we talk about chunk runs. That helps you with that.
Oh, yes.
I mean, how is Jahmyr Gibbs and Christian McCaffrey and you know, Kyren Williams, all these guys, like when you get to that second and third level, a lot of that is because of your running or your wide receivers blocking along the edge.
If he wants to accept that challenge and look it in the eye and look in the man in the mirror and say, I'm going to be the 100% best employee I could, there will be no doubt in my mind that when we get to the end of the year, the Cowboys should pay him and not CeeDee Lamb. How many times do we watch CeeDee Lamb just watch his dude jump inside and go make a tackle in the run game? You know, I'd like, if you can get a guy to do this for you, I want to have both of them, obviously. But if I got to pick one, if George Pickens could ace this test.
I think that's kind of what they're looking at. I mean, to me, I just and I could be totally wrong, but just reading the tea leaves and listening to what Stephen Jones said, I don't believe they want to pay two wide receivers that type of money.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Right. Mm.
I think if they wanted to get the George Pickens deal done, they'd have got this thing done. You know, after what they went through with Micah, you know, and that agent and all that, it's, you know, and I don't think it's a grudge match thing or anything like that. I just don't think they want to pay the two guys.
It's hard to team build like that.
Maybe Schottenheimer's come out and told, you know, Steven and Will and Jerry that, listen, I know this guy's a great player. I know that Pickens is a great player, but man, I can't have him doing things being late, missing things and all that, and everybody else on the team's looking at me and I'm not doing anything about it. You know? So maybe it's one of those things like, hey, let's see what happens this year, play through it, and then probably move on.
Okay, this is 10 players who need to have a good offseason from Calvin Watkins, Morning News. George Pickens is number one, D. Winters number two. Learning a new defense, new teammates, opportunity is massive. He's unrestricted in 2027. How hard would you be hitting the books right here? You're D. Winters, you're trying to get paid, you're trying to stay with your Cowboys, you went to TCU. Yeah, I don't think I'm doing anything else. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to hook up with Sean Lee and get that AI program installed in the house. Like, what do I need to do to make this opportunity come to life for me and be the Cowboys starting linebacker and then get a contract next spring? Overshown's number three contract year. Can he stay healthy? You know, can he shine in this new system? I think it'd be the absolute best version of himself. You know, that's huge, and I think it's a giant unknown. I was very excited about Overshown at a couple of points in his career, but at this point, I'm just, it's not belief. It's just like I'm keeping my fingers crossed for the guy. You know, he's one of the easier dudes to root for. He's a character. He's a culture guy. He's a leader. He's the Dak of the defense in a lot of ways. Like, he just exudes that kind of energy that you need at key spots. So if he could be good, I think it could, you know, be a multiplier type effect around that locker room. But you gotta play well to get that status to impact guys, to inspire guys. Guiding it for make or break, you think?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is it, man. And it's similar to Overshown in the sense that a lot of it is just simply staying healthy, though we've seen Overshown actually be the dominant player on the field, and you haven't quite gotten that from Guyton. But, yeah, this is absolutely make or break.
Nate Thomas, the 2024 seventh rounder, he was decent in a couple of games last year, kind of shaky at others. But it seems like they want to give him a shot, and he's strong as hell. So that'd be cool if Nate Thomas can have a good offseason and show up significantly better. Deron Bland at 6, coming back from the foot. Ezeraku at 7. Revel at 8. Cowboys now have 11 corners on the 90-man roster, I saw. that's like 12% of your team is corners right now, so they are looking for answers. They are prospecting hard, and all these guys have an opportunity. Caleb Downs at 9. Can he live up to the hype? You know, a lot of expectations for this guy. And then Scooney at 10. You know, it's... It's just a deal where...
Talk about make or break. I mean, are you going to make the roster?
Yeah, you know, I guess they just need Trigg to be so good that Scooney becomes a fourth tight end.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there's nobody that could really push him out of there. I think you would just take the Scooney 8 catches or whatever he's going to give you and some decent blocking and, you know, move along at the end of the season. We got Krusty's Corner coming up next, though. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, I've got some more questions for my guys. And, like, I want to also know... When into the interceptions quarterback's faults? We'll do that next.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Thank you, Lucius. It's time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Go to greystone-roofing.com. Here's the king.
Hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's gonna teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Appreciate you playing that. Thank you to Greystone for being a part of that. You guys excited to get your airline trip stuff lined up for training camp?
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
It's a beautiful thing.
Getting ready for that? Everybody excited about that?
Just gotta make sure we're there for the media party. It's really the next... box to check.
As a guy that doesn't love to fly, what's exciting for you? Just that football is getting closer.
So, like, we know the dates.
Spencer McKenzie's. Fish burritos. Mm.
Yeah, the fish burritos for sure. I think the thing I'm excited about, Dawson, I like to go to practice. I like to watch, but this is going to be interesting for me this year because I'm going to really try not to be
overly excited.
See that?
Yeah.
Can I see that? You see that? And I'm not going to be just totally. I'm going to report, and I'm excited that I get to go out there a little early, like we did last year. So that's That's kind of fun to be able to do that and
get our best guest on the show.
Best guest. I'll be your guy's best guest on the show.
Better come with the hard stuff.
Yeah, but I've
also have your fastball working.
I have a fastball. I love three live mics. I love all that stuff that we do out there. But I'm also
two live mics.
Well, yeah. Well,
that's right.
Two live mics.
We do. We kind of share.
We figured it out over the last 5 years. It's two live mics.
But I am excited. I was hearing some whispers that they might be working, doing a couple of these practices against teams. You know, they've done stuff in the past where it's only been one.
Saints is official.
Saints out there official?
Yep. It was put out there. Nick Harris confirmed it. The Saints on their side, their beat writers were confirming it. So we not only get the Rams, but we get the Saints in Oxnard before they play their preseason finale.
Well, it sounds like then that the Cowboys, I think they're going home and home with the Rams.
Cowboys are going to go to the Rams this year.
Yeah, because last year the
Saints go to Oxnard.
Yeah.
But hey, I love this. I think that they're even better than the preseason games, in my opinion, these joint practices.
Yeah, I think you could get a lot out of this. I think you get a lot out of these practices with other teams.
Real players play.
Yeah, and the fact that it's the ones versus the ones and the twos versus twos, and you kind of get that, you kind of see where you're really at. And I think last year, we were here in town, but people who were covering the team were like, man, I don't know. Cowboys are kind of struggling a little bit here with this defensive line. Cowboys are struggling a little bit here with some coverage stuff. And you're like going, I'll be okay. I'll be fine. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. It wasn't okay. So you'll have really two opportunities. We'll see how good the Saints are. But to me, working against the Rams, that's good stuff.
It's a legit Super Bowl team.
And you watch McVay, you watch him and his crew go at it. They're out there trying to win practice.
Yeah.
And you could get a lot watching your guys go up against that, and you're like, oh man, that didn't look too good. That was kind of rough. That was a rough series there.
Gave you a dose of reality last summer.
It did. Yeah. It did. And I think I'm going into this training camp with the attitude of, all right, I'm interested to see where guys line up. I'm interested to see how these coaches coach, and I'm interested to see if the players, in fact, can execute what these coaches are asking them to do.
You really can't tell how well they're doing until joint practice and preseason.
Joint practice. Yeah. And my hope is that they do a little bit more in preseason. My hope is that I guess we don't have to see Dak or Williams.
That would be it. I think everybody else needs to play.
But everybody else, line them up. Line them up and let them play. Let them get a couple of
especially
series.
Especially on defense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely on defense. Let
Tyler Smith, maybe that would be another one. It's like, okay, that's fine.
How about Guyton?
Guyton needs to play. Steele needs to play. BB needs to play. Booker needs to play.
This thing is, to me, they need to have a training camp where you kind of get a little bit of an idea with this. The joint practices, the preseason, feel a little bit better. I don't want to be, us breaking down week one and like, well, we really don't know about this.
Do you think the coaches meet and like talk to each other if they're friends about?
Oh no, they do.
Yeah,
that's
what's
what
hot.
Well, that's what they want. I mean, are you talking about like for the joint practices? Or?
Yeah, like are McVay and Shoddy going to get together talk ball?
They plan. Both staffs plan the practice with the other staff. Hmm. So they're like, hey, what would you like to see? Well, we need to see more of this. Hmm. And so you get the head coaches talk. They kind of it filters down to the coordinators. And then the coordinators talk to each other like, hey, listen, this is what we're working on. Can you kind of give us a little bit or, when this and they break down the practices that way. So but still, like I this is one of those training camps where I'm really, really excited to go to. But I think it's going to be the first training camp in a long time where I'm going to like, OK, you got to prove to me that you're actually doing stuff the right way.
It's going
to
be more measured.
Yeah, a little bit.
We need to take what we're seeing on the field. Kyrie Elam last year.
Kyrie Elam did a great job.
Can he carry that over into the season? Yeah, Kyrie Elam was tremendous.
That's the MO of Kyrie Elam always looks good in practice.
Yeah.
Can't play a damn worth in the games.
Noah Brown was kind of like that.
Well, Turpin was the MVP of the offense last year in training camp. Like he was making plays left and right.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of evaporated.
But I'm excited. I'm excited to get to go out there.
I can't wait to watch Caleb Downs.
I really am. Have you guys, I was just, by the way, I was going to ask you this question. I had a guy comment to me, and I, you know me, I read comments. I'm a read a comment.
Well, they'll
guy.
Ruin your day.
They'll try and ruin your day.
This on your YouTube page?
This is my YouTube page, and a guy just said, "Man, take that back. It was my Crown Global Media, my Twitter account that's not been hacked yet." And and a guy said, "He goes, God, I can't wait till the season, the training camp starts. These subject matter you guys are bringing up, it's just ridiculous." I'm like, man, we're doing our job. Bro, we're doing our job.
He doesn't like your May content.
He doesn't like when we try and do June radio. He doesn't like June radio. You know, and then
hater.
Ultimately what happens is everybody lines up and it's like, nah, man, this is cool. These things make you think, you know. So the things we do, June radio's tough for us. Let's not act like it's a, you know, but you gotta create content. It's our job. Right?
I think it's where some of the most interesting conversations happen, Brian.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I do, too. I think anytime I walk around and think of questions all the time that I like to ask you guys. And you guys do a great job, I think, of answering them, too.
After the games, it's so toxic and angry.
Yeah.
It's emotionally exhausting to talk about the Cowboys during the season. In the offseason, hope's eternal. You have optimism.
Yep.
It's legitimate. They haven't failed yet to prove you wrong. It's actually a fun thought experiment.
I agree totally about that. All right, I was looking at Pro Football Focus the other day, and I guess looking at some content of guys that are still there working. It's unfortunate that some of our buddies are no longer working there.
They got two or three dudes
there.
And
by the way, too, Charles Robinson's a friend of the program at Yahoo.
Yeah. He should get scooped up pretty quick.
God, I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
He's really good at what he does.
Charles Robinson, you want to talk about a guy that if he says something about Jerry Jones, you better believe him. And I'm saying this in all respect to Charles because I can't tell you how many times I've asked Charles to do something at training camp. Hey, Charles, can I get some of your time? He goes, no, man, I got a one-on-one with Jerry.
Yeah, dude. He's plugged in.
This guy,
he's doing it for
years. If Charles Robinson is saying something about your football team, you probably should listen.
Well, he taught us to wear sunscreen out there at Oxnard.
No, he wears
we learned the hard way.
Cakes it on his nose.
He was right about it, man.
It seems like, did the Athletic replace Russini? Because it seems like they would just snatch him up, or NFL Network or ESPN. Like, one of the top three.
Yeah.
Unless he wants to start his own thing.
Yeah.
And maybe he should do that with all of the info he has.
Well, he has got so many people that he talks to. Like, you could talk to him about the NFL draft, and he's got it like, wired. Like afterwards you're going like, damn, I wish I would have talked to him sooner. You know, he had this pretty, he's like, well, no, think about it this way. And he's always got something to think about it. But yeah, Charles Robinson from Yahoo, buddy, man, he's down there in Houston. Okay. And so I hope he finds a way to get back on the horse and gets going. All right. I'd say this again, Pro Football Focus. Have you guys ever heard of unlucky and lucky quarterbacks?
Yeah, as it pertains to
like
the interceptions.
Did you read this?
Yes, I did.
When I was gone, did you do this?
No, I just saw it. I just saw it today.
Oh, did you?
Is this a turnover worthy play thing?
Yeah, yeah. They have like who the luckiest and unluckiest quarterbacks are, and a lot of this is based on turnover worthy throws.
Yeah, that's the good category that Pro Football Focus has conjured up, I don't know, sometime in the last 10 years to give you a feel for, okay, yeah, it wasn't an interception on that play, but it was a turnover-worthy play. So you could see a quarterback that has high level of turnover-worthy plays, but they didn't result in the turnover, but it still gives you a picture. This guy is consistently putting the ball in harm's way, and maybe he got lucky this season and he didn't get picked off a bunch. That's going to correct itself for the next year. It doesn't carry over.
Did you see who the luckiest quarterback was in the league?
For last season?
Yeah.
Stafford?
Stafford.
Yeah.
Who was your MVP?
Stafford.
Old Staffy.
How about that? Now, the luckiest quarterbacks last year in the NFL were Matthew Stafford, Cam Ward.
That's scary for the Titans.
Wow.
Jordan Love.
These are gunslingers.
Michael Penix. Jackson Dart. Baker Mayfield. Dak Prescott. And Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, these are some guys that are just going to fire it in there. They trust their arm.
Just for example, Dak Prescott had 17 throws that were considered turnover worthy.
Wow.
He had interception on 6 of those 17 throws. He had non-turnover-worthy interceptions. He had four.
And so it was a good throw. DB just makes a hell of a play on those?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or a receiver goes through the receiver's hands.
George Pickens.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Off a shoulder.
Exactly. Game. Yeah. But those were the eight luckiest quarterbacks in the league. There was some time, I mean, we always kind of feel like with Dak, it's like, is he unlucky? Or is that, you know, he's had some problems. But the most unlucky quarterbacks, I know, I'm sorry, I got about a minute here, or I'm almost out of time. But the most unlucky quarterbacks are Geno Smith, Brock Purdy, Justin Herbert, Joe Flacco, Bryce Young, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, and Sam Darnold are the most unlucky quarterbacks in the league.
Last year.
But all time, when you start to talk about all time quarterbacks, Matthew Stafford is number one for the most luckiest quarterbacks for the decade. Him, Ben Roethlisberger, and then Matthew Stafford again. So it's like
it's the 2024 season for Stafford.
And the 24 and 25 season.
So, I wonder if that's because he throws it so hard. Like, I saw a clip of Ebron and talking about how he broke four of his fingers.
Yeah.
And he's throwing it so damn hard, he's breaking his receivers and tight ends' fingers, and the DBs have no shot of catching it.
Yeah, his that what they call net luck. he's a plus 7.3. That was in 2024. And then he's in this past season, he's a plus 6.8 net luck. So if you're interested in those kinds of things, go and if you got the Pro Football Focus, go and check that out. It's some really fascinating stuff that they're talking about lucky and unlucky quarterbacks in the NFL.
Thank you, Brian. We got two down, two and a half to go. Football fix time. Well, Chuck, I need a fix. What do we got?
Let's do it. We got the latest on A.J. Brown, a surprise Harbaugh answer, and who is the most underrated Cowboy? That's next.
Hey there. I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.